The evening lesson tonight comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. That's on 1220 in the Pew Bible. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
On Sunday nights, we go through a series. The series that we're in right now is called Love Does. And each Sunday night, we look at an aspect of the active part of love, what love does. And tonight, I've been tasked with talking about love being patient. And so I thought to begin, we would just go ahead and get the dad joke out of the way. If you don't know what a dad joke is a joke that only a dad laughs at because it's not really funny. But of course, none of the doctors here need to hear this lesson because they have a ton of patience. Okay, there we go. You're not supposed to laugh. That is, quit ruining humor by laughing at that. Love is patient. When you're going to preach on this, you think about the times when you have had to exercise patience. And when you're thinking about those times, you drop your phone in the toilet. Well, that's what I did today before I got ready to preach on patience. That happened. Should leave it closed. That's my fault. I should have left it closed. Just walking in the bathroom, dropped my phone, went right in the toilet. Also, just recently, thinking about patience, I was on my way to Mississippi because some of you know that Marty's grandfather passed away, and I was supposed to be at the visitation at a certain time, and then someone on I-65 had other plans, and they flipped their camper, and they stopped northbound traffic in I-65 for an hour and a half. We pulled over on the side of the road. I met a bunch of people. We sat there for more than an hour and a half just on the highway. I got out of my car. I met people from all over the place as we sat and watched the tow truck try to flip this camper back over. No fatalities, just a delay. When we think about patience, I think that is what comes to mind, is this our ability to abide some frustration, something that is grating at us. And that's certainly a part of patience. There are two words in the New Testament for patience. One is macrothumia, and that is this idea of being long-tempered, of being slow to anger. That's a passive sense. You get that perhaps when you read Romans 9:22, it says, "What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" That's a question that Paul asks in Romans 9. But that's the idea that of how long can you last? I think of as an illustration of like middle school boy games. When you're in middle school and you're a boy and you have all this aggression and there's very little opportunity to exercise that aggression, you come up with different games. There was a game when I was a kid where we would hold our hands like this. I don't know why. And then the other person would thump your knuckle as hard as they could. And then you would take a turn thumping them as hard. And you went until someone refused to play anymore. The games that we invent to hurt ourselves, bloody knuckles, where you punch each other in the knuckles until one of you quits. Or I knew some brothers who used to play 6 inches, and 6 inches is where you put your hand here and then you do your fist, and you're not allowed to pull back. You just have to push forward as hard as you can, and you do that for hours on end until one of you is so sore that you have to quit. Middle school boys are dumb. Okay. I played all of those games. So I didn't last very long, surprising no one. But, that's the idea. The idea of I can tolerate this. I can take this. That is the idea of patience that I think most of us run to immediately. This is why we would say someone is testing my patience. They're testing how long I can hold back before I just unload with both barrels. Well, that's one part of patience. That's a passive part of patience. That's you not doing something. But there's also a word for patience, and the word that's actually used in 1 Corinthians 13, hupome, it is an active verb. So in actuality, the passage does not read love is patience. What love is patient. What it actually reads is love endures a long time. So there, you see the active tense of that verb. Love endures long. Love does patience. Where this series is called Love Does. Another place where that kind of idea is used is in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, a verse that I'm sure many of you know. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And then this is where it comes up. Let us run with endurance. And that word endurance is the word for patience. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So the idea is that patience also has an active part to it. It's not just a waiting game. Let's see how long I can hold out before I lose my patience, but there's also like an active side to patience. And that is the side that I want us to focus on this evening. If you need an illustration of what it would look like to be actively patient, think about helping someone move, or moving furniture. My wife loves to move furniture. It's, she loves to do it. And I don't know. I mean, look, we have different opinions about, I like to keep things exactly the same and never change ever. That's my personality. But she loves it. It brings her joy to move. And so it's not a big deal unless we have to move something really heavy. And you know, when you're moving something heavy of a big piece of furniture, we have an armoire in our house that has been in almost every room in our house. I'm just going to share that right now. But when you're moving a big piece, she's going to be mad at me about that. But there, that's fine. When you're moving a big piece of furniture, sometimes these pieces of furniture, they don't come with handles, right? And you're holding on to a ledge like this. You've got your fingers and you're trying not to bang your fingers on the side of the door, and you got your friend there to help you. And they're like, why are you moving this? And be like, just don't worry about it. I love my wife. That's why we're moving it. And, and sometimes you have to set it down and kind of, you know, you're getting sweaty and you don't, there's not a great place to grip. And so you got to kind of set it down and you got to kind of like get a better grip, and then we 1, 2, 3, and we'll lift. Let's lift up again. That is kind of the idea of hupome. It's a bearing up under a burden. It's a repositioning yourself to better hold a burden. It's an actively pursuing or putting a burden on yourself. It's a steadfastness that comes from difficulty. It's active. Okay, so that's what patience is. All right, that's our first point. What is patience? Well, patience is kind of two things. It's a passive, it's a not getting angry, but it's also active. It is also actively practicing endurance. Well, why do we need patience? I guess this is the time where I tell you that there's no religion in the world that doesn't laud patience as something that we all need. That ought to say something to us. No one ever says, oh, I hate that guy or I hate that girl. She's so patient. No one ever says that. Patience is something. So why do we need it? Well, there's certainly some benefits for us exercising patience. I listened to a psychologist talk about how to practice patience and all the benefits that we get when we actively practice patience. She actually suggested, and I think this is kind of wise, and is that if you want to practice patience, the next time you have to go somewhere, just choose the longest line on purpose. And then ask yourself, look at the grocery store and choose the longest line and say, I'm going to enjoy this time where I practice my patience instead of I've got to get to the next thing. We'll cover that a little bit more in just a second. But why do we need patience? I suggest four reasons that the Bible suggests that we need patience. The first is that we are guaranteed to face trouble if we follow Christ. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. John 15:19, Jesus says, If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We will face trouble. And I think I've said this before from this pulpit, and certainly I've said it to the youth many times. But if you are not receiving resistance or trouble from your faith, you have a good reason to question whether you're actually practicing it. We are guaranteed to face trouble. And we can think of this kind of like in a Murphy's Law situation. Murphy's Law, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. This is the we're guaranteed there's been a fall, and the world has fallen. And so, therefore, the file doesn't send, or the email, the text is not responded to. Or I'm not really talking about that per se. We're also guaranteed to face spiritual opposition. We're guaranteed to face spiritual opposition as well as like the effects of the fall in our daily life that test our patience. In other words, there is a real enemy that is out there, and we're guaranteed to face him. So we're going to need patience, endurance, the willingness to endure difficulty. We're going to need that. The other reason why we need patience is because we're called to suffer. We are called to suffer. I want you to listen to what James says about patience in chapter 5. This is James 5, 7 through 11. He says about who he uses as an example. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Two people that James holds up as examples of patience are two groups of people, or a group of people and then one person, who are known for their suffering. All the prophets suffered. In fact, you know, nowadays, I think we covered this, and since you asked, or in the spiritual gifts or wherever we covered it, but I'm always suspicious of people who would say, "Oh yes, I'm a prophet," and be proud of it. Because in the Bible, whenever God would say, "I want you to be a prophet," I'm going to paraphrase here, but most of the prophets who we know would be like, "I'll just do anything else." Some of them actively ran away, like Jonah, and others were like, no, I'm good. I'm good, God. I don't need to do that. Because the prophets suffered. The prophets were called to suffer, and we know about Job's suffering. It's probably one of the most famous examples of suffering in the Bible. So we're going to need patience because we are called to suffer. What does Jesus even say about himself? "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." So we will face trouble. We are called to suffer. Also, the reason why we need patience is because it leads to repentance. It leads to repentance. This is Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness," God's kindness, "and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" When we practice patience, it shows us the error of our own ways. It shows us how to correct our own behavior, our own bad thinking, our own bad speaking, our own bad acting. Patience causes us to move in a different direction. That when we practice patience, why do we need patience? Because patience leads us toward repentance, toward moving away from darkness and to light, moving away from selfishness and toward holiness. The fourth reason why we need patience is that patience is part and parcel with love. If you look, this is this passage, 1 Corinthians 4, where it begins. This is the passage that they read at all the weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does this and that. Your spouse is not going to be like any of this, but this is what love is like. So go ahead and get ready to be disappointed. No one's asked me to do their wedding yet. I don't know why. That's not true. I've done some weddings, but what is the first thing that Paul lists when he talks about love? Patience. It's the very first thing. Think about all the things that Paul says that love does and is. Think about that. I mean, the list is, you know, it's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It bears all things. But the first thing that he lists, the very first thing that he lists, is that love endures long. Love is patient. In fact, we might say that we cannot love until we have practiced patience. That I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to say this. You haven't loved someone till you've had to be patient with them. You haven't loved someone. That's how intimately these two things are tied together. That love and patience, they go hand in hand. It's the very first thing you list for a reason. That the very act of exercising patience is an act of love. So, what is patience? Hopefully we've covered that. Why do we need patience? I think that should go without saying, but the Bible lists many reasons. Now, let's get practical for just 1 second before we close. This is the so what, or what do I do with this tomorrow morning, Kurt? You're going to have plenty of opportunities to practice this, by the way. You might even be practicing it right now. You're like very impatient. You're like, when's this guy going to be done? See, so you're welcome for that. But how do I do it? I'm not very patient, Kurt. Well, get in line, because I'm not impatient either. I'm not patient either. I'm very impatient. I think all the time. Just ask Marty what my attitude is like at about 8:09 every Sunday morning, because we need to leave at 8:10 to get here on time. Ask her. Maybe don't ask her. Okay. Maybe I'll just say it's not good. It's not good. It's very, I'm a very willing servant, as if it means getting out the door, but I'm doing everything very quickly, and I'm very bitter about the fact that we might be late, because I'm impatient. Be around me when I am waiting for someone to respond to a text or to an email, and I need to know the response. And I'm just sitting there on my phone, and I'm saying things like, what's the point of having a phone if you can't respond to this? You know, like, what's... If I wanted to wait to hear your response, I would have dialed you on one of those things, you know? Like, well, how do we practice it? Well, the first thing that we have to do to practice patience is we have to have humility. And that's trouble again for the prideful among us. But we have to admit this, is that we are not in control. God is in control. And this is probably the most disappointing part of my conversion to Christianity, is the admission that I'm not in control of my own life. I hate to say that. I don't like it. I want to be in control. In fact, that is the essence of sin, isn't it? The essence of sin is that I should be in control because I know better, God. Why can't you do what I want you to do, the way I want you to do it, and when I want you to do it? And see, here is the kind of brutal cycle that we get into when we don't practice humility and when we don't confess that God is in control. We fail to practice patience with other people because we live under the assumption that it's up to us. That everything that gets done... In fact, I was thinking about inspirational sayings. I was looking at pictures of... Mississippi State has a new locker room. And someone sent me some pictures of the new locker room. And of course, because these colleges blow tons of money on college football, it's really nice. But they have all these inspirational sayings on there that you have in the locker. You know, every team has this, I'm sure. You know, they have all these inspirational sayings, and like one of them was, they don't give you a gold medal for beating somebody, they give you a gold medal for beating everybody. And I'd be like, okay, that's cool, I guess. That's by someone who won a gold medal. Maybe we should win a gold medal before we start putting that on the wall. But one of them that I've heard people from the church use is this one. Okay, let me count the, let's see, 10 words, all 2 letters long. You can nod if you've heard this before. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, 10 words, 10 words. Yeah, 10 words, all 2 letters long. If it is to be, it is up to me. If we're not careful, especially in this society, that is what we live by. And see, if that is your calling card, if you're like, if you can't delegate like me, if you hate delegating because no one's going to do it as good as you think you can do it, if that's your calling card, there's no room for patience. Because you're busy. You've got people to see and things to get done, and nothing can get in the way. Because you think that you're in control of your own life. And I want to snap you right out of that right now. You are not in control. You didn't choose your name, your height, your hair color, your family. You didn't choose anything. You didn't even choose to live in Montgomery, probably. It just happened. You looked up and you were 50 and were like, what happened? I'm in Montgomery. There is no room in that kind of philosophy for roadblocks or for detours. And so there's no room for patience. If you think that you are in charge of your own life, you're going to be a very impatient person. Very impatient. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to practice humility. We have to go through life with an open hand instead of a closed hand. This is how we treat our time and the things that we have to get done. Lots of times we grip onto them very tightly. And we have to go with an open hand. The second thing is that in order to practice patience, we have to first receive God's patience. This is another kind of vicious cycle that we get into where we don't believe that God is patient with us, so therefore we're not patient with anyone else. We don't believe that God is patient with us. We just assume that God is constantly rolling his eyes at us. And so we're constantly rolling our eyes at other people when they slow us down. But we have to believe that God is patient with us. God endures your faithlessness. God endures your faithlessness. He endures it. He willingly endures it. Not passively like, oh, here we go again with this lady. No, not like that. He endures your faithlessness. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. Is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If you do not believe that God, maybe for you, maybe the reason that you are so impatient is because you don't believe that God is patient with you. That you serve a God who expects results. And maybe that's why you struggle with patience. But what you need to hear about God is, one, God is patient because God is love and love is patient. But God doesn't just endure. He does. He endures your faithlessness and your sin and your wanting to be in charge and your constant holding up your fist at him and saying, I know better. He endures that, yes. He endures it. But he bears up under it, too. He knows what you're like, and he still sends Jesus to die for you. He doesn't think, oh, well, I'll do this, and then they'll finally get their act together. No, in fact, he knows that you will not. He knows that you will not, and he bears up under it. He, you know, I joke about moving the furniture, but whenever I move a big piece of furniture from Marty, I say, okay, it's got to stay here for so many months before we can move it again. It's got, you know, you're sweating and you're like, it's got to stay. God moves your furniture when he knows that you're going to want to move it again next week. And he moves it willingly. That's how much he loves you. Don't take my word for it. Psalm 103, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows what you're like and what you're made of, and he willingly bears under your burden. What's the third way in which we practice patience? And let's try to close here. Patience, in order to practice patience, we have to see God. We have to see other people as God sees us. We have to see other people as God sees us. Patience does not mean lying to yourself or to others about someone else. It doesn't mean acting like nothing is frustrating. That's not what patience means. Someone's really patient because they just, you know, no, they just have like, they're just cool, you know, they could be a cold-blooded, I don't know, but they, you know, just because someone is calm does not mean that they're patient. Being patient does not mean that you can't be frustrated. It would be very, it wouldn't be very motivating for me to say to you every time that you complained about something, well, you know, other people have it worse. Well, no kidding, Kurt. I know that other people have it worse. That helps me none. So I just want you to embrace before we close that you don't, being patient does not mean acting like things aren't frustrating. The world is full of frustration. Thorns and thistles it will produce for you. That's what God promises Adam, that there will be frustration in the world. It's not lying about that. What it is, it's embracing the frustration that other people bring. What a radical way to live your life, to embrace people's frustration. And our model for that is obviously Jesus Christ. We'll never be able to do it like he did. But just think about the disciples for a second. Think about how annoying the disciples were, if I can say that about God's small group. Peter constantly thinking that he knew the right answer and never really known it. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ went to church, went to the synagogue every Sunday and heard someone else teach him about God and about the patience that's required for that. And yet, this is the God that you serve. He embraces your frustration. He bears up under knowing that you will never measure up. That is the God that we serve, and that's how we practice patience. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for enduring for us. Lord, tomorrow morning there are frustrations waiting at the door. There are annoying little snags in our schedule or what we hoped would happen. And there are also heavy, difficult trials. And Lord, all those things are in your hand. Lord, give us the belief that you love us so that we might practice love and patience with all those around us. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.